Our New Testament lesson this morning is coming from the sixth chapter of Galatians, verses 1 through 10. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think that they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of God.
Good morning. People of God, let us pray together. Gracious God, open your word to us and open our hearts that we might hear and our heads and our hearts that we might understand your word. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick, and say to those who are there, 'Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yesterday morning at 8 a.m., bright and early, we dropped our kiddo off for a full week of fun and learning and not bathing at Boy Scout camp. In preparation for a full week away with the boys, there was an information meeting for parents complete with PowerPoint that we missed because we were on vacation, that they emailed to us. One of the things that they gave us was the rules of camp. The very first rule of camp is Nobody goes anywhere alone. You always, always, always use what? The buddy system. The rules state you do not get to wander alone. You must take someone with you. Women, we are often accused of this, aren't we? Because we rarely even go to the bathroom alone when we're out in groups. Wisdom has taught us that for our children, all the way up, that there is safety in numbers. Why can't my boy wander off on his own in a strange camp? Because it's safer to be with someone else. You don't get quite as lost if you have somebody else who knows the way. If you think that this sticking together in pairs thing is a new notion we invented, you need only turn to Scripture to notice that the buddy system has been in play from the very beginning. It was not just used by Jesus for his disciples, but throughout the Old Testament as well, the vast majority of those who are sent to do hard work for God are sent with a partner. Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Naomi had Ruth, Moses had Aaron, and then later on Moses had Joshua, Elijah had Elisha, Paul had Silas, Paul had Barnabas, Paul had Timothy. It seems that God has created us for community, that God understands our need for mutual support in life and along the journey. In the very earliest days of Christianity, Paul and all of the other missionaries who were sent out to preach the good news were always sent two by two. Paul traveled with a multitude of different companions throughout his letters, and in the book of Acts, we see who he went with, but we also see that Paul does not go alone, ever, because there is safety and security in numbers, but there is also accountability and mutual responsibility. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul went so far as to tell the church that they must bear one another's burdens together and that everyone must bear their own load, not expect someone else to do it for them, but that we should do it in partnership with one another. We must carry our own load. We must not expect others to do everything for us, and yet we also need not say, nope, I got it, go away, leave me alone, but rather we are called by God to share the burdens that we do have with one another. This isn't about arrogance or superiority. We're not supposed to stoop down to help out somebody else because they need it and not accept help for ourselves because we're good, we've got it. But rather, it is a humility and a mutuality. We are called to be in partnership with one another, to carry each other's loads. Ministry and mission and life are meant to be shared in the community of faith. Jesus knew the importance of doing life in community. Back on Trinity Sunday, a couple weeks ago, I pointed out to you that being a member of the Trinity, Jesus understood relationship even before he put on flesh and became one of us, because God is eternally relationship with God's self. But Jesus also didn't drop from heaven as a full-blown adult, but was raised, what? In a family, in a particular community. Jesus then, as he began his public ministry, immediately begins by gathering others around him, by finding others who will walk with him and carry the load. When the disciples had learned enough, and this is the 12, Jesus sent them out two by two into the cities and towns to which he would go. And then they came back and shared what they had learned with the larger group. And then later on in our passage this morning, Jesus sends out a second group, the 70, also in pairs. Using the buddy system, Jesus sends them out two by two to the towns where they will eventually go and visit. They are sent ahead of Jesus, much like we are sent ahead of Jesus' second coming. They are sent to the towns, but their instructions are very specific, and the instructions are important. The 70 are sent humbly, not self-sufficiently. They didn't pack up the RV with all of the food and all of the clothing and all of the things that they could possibly need for the next couple of weeks so that they did not need to interact with anyone else along the road, but rather they are sent without a map, without a reservation, without a pack of food. They are reliant on the goodwill of whomever they might encounter. The 70 are sent bearing nothing but the good news that the kingdom of God has come near and the peace of God. They must welcome others in the name of God and be welcomed by others. The 70 are told directly not to go shopping for the best lodging, but to stay wherever they first enter. And so if it is the poorest of the poor who welcome you in, you stay with them. If it is the biggest house in town that welcomes you in, you stay with them because it does not matter where you stay. You are sent to cure the sick, cast out demons, accept the help and the goodwill of those who would feed you and care for you while you are out. They are sent in pairs to do the work of God, but they are also sent into community with others. Doing ministry and life in community is hard work. We just need to acknowledge that. Sometimes it would be a lot easier if faith was just about me and my relationship with Jesus. Because some days it's hard enough just to be on our own and in relationship with ourselves, isn't it? Adding another couple of people into life gets messy. It's hard work to do worship and life together in community. There are many who have said over the years, and I've heard this regularly, that God is everywhere. I can worship God on the golf course or in the woods or on the mountaintop. Why do I need to go to church? Anybody else ever had somebody say that to you? Yeah? God is everywhere. What's so special about a church building? This is true. And I suspect that there are many people who have had far more mystical experiences on mountaintops than they have in church buildings. However, we need only look to Jesus to understand that the expectation of our faith is not that it is about me and God alone, but that we were created for community and to be with one another. God may be experienced in really beautiful ways in solitude and on mountaintops or in beautiful places. But when we make God our own personal domain, when we eliminate the buddy system, when we make our faith all about me, we miss the point. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, the Holy Spirit is present. We need one another. We need the community of faith because we need a community of both grace and truth to walk with us on our journey. We need people who know us well enough to call us to account when we begin to drift. And we need people who will love us when we come back home. We live in a culture that deeply values independence and self-reliance. And many of you were taught as children that you better be able to do for yourself because no one else was going to do it for you. We were taught, many of us, that our individual identity really mattered. And while this is true, to isolate ourselves, to focus only on being the individual misses the beauty of community. When we forget to take along a buddy because we're sure we can do it on our own, we forget that two is often better than one. Even Jesus took companions along with him every step of his public ministry. We are made for community, and as messy as things can get in the church, we are in need of one another. Jesus and then later Paul helped to frame this community as one of mutuality and humility. Jesus sent his followers to heal the sick, but also to rely on the hospitality of strangers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the Roman world. And what we know about Paul is that he was a tent maker, and so tents being necessary everywhere, he could make a living anywhere he went. But he always set up shop in partnership with someone else as he traveled. He always started in any new city in the synagogue with the other people of faith. This mutual need changes how we see relationships and how we do faith and mission and ministry. So often we are willing to come along beside anybody. I will help you, but don't you dare offer me any help because I got this. How often are we guilty of that? How often do we struggle to accept help from others when we would give anything to help the other person? How often in your life have you offered someone help only to have them brush you off or say, "Nope, I've got it"? We're often guilty of that ourselves. How often have you said, "I'm fine," when you really weren't? We're not supposed to go it alone. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to proclaim the gospel because we need community and partners. Now, I suspect you don't actually need me to tell you any of this, because I think this past several years have taught you as a church, in particular those who've been leading anything around here, the need to work independently and together in all things. You've learned as a church without a pastor to lean upon one another to get whatever it was done that needed to be done. And you've learned that there is safety in numbers and how much we need each other. There is no secret or magic pill that I can give you to grow the church. There's no special formula that we can apply and suddenly, boom, everything is different. No pastor is going to do it all themselves. And if they tell you they can, then I think they've missed the point of being a disciple of Jesus. What is needed is that we partner together. Jesus sent his followers out in pairs to teach and to share the good news because we are not designed to be lone rangers. We are designed to go together to share the good news. We're created for community. We were created for the buddy system, to live life together. We were created to go and build relationships with others. And that is the keystone that invites others into our faith. We build relationships and we welcome. Jesus sent his followers out two by two to share the good news, cast out demons and heal the sick, to proclaim the gospel. He never expected one person by themselves to get it right all the time. That's why they had each other, knowing that if one person falters and trips, the other one is there to help pick them up. If one person is doing phenomenally well, the other is there to cheer them on and encourage and make sure that they don't burn themselves out. There is safety in numbers. We are called together and we are sent. We are called together and we are sent not to go alone throughout the week, but together to build the kingdom of God. Jesus invites us to the table to be nourished, and he sends us out. supporting and encouraging one another, spurring each other on. This is why we gather each week. This is why church matters. This is why we participate in this beautiful and messy thing called the community of the faithful. Because we are a sent people, but we are not sent alone. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would bless us. We ask that you would guide us. We ask that you would show us the way. Help us to encourage one another, to challenge one another, and to support one another as we seek to do the work of your kingdom day by day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.